हरि ॐ सहनवतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यङ्करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मारुतिर्विश्वावहै ॐ जय श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्रीहद्वैत गदाधर शिव सरि गौरभक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे.
Okay, page 69, chapter 80. Maharsh Parikkhit continued, actual speech is that which describes the qualities of the Lord. Real hands are those that work for Him. A true mind is that which always remembers Him, dwelling within everything moving and non-moving. And actual ears are those that listen to sanctifying topics about Him. An actual head is one that bows down to the Lord in His manifestations among the moving and non-moving creatures. Real eyes are those that see only the Lord, and actual limbs are those which regularly honor the water that has bathed the Lord's feet or those of His devotees. Srila Prabhupada writes in Krishna Book, Maharsh Parikkhit continued by saying that the function of the ear can be perfected simply by engagement in hearing the transcendental activities of the Lord, and the function of the head can be fully utilized when the head is engaged in bowing down before the Lord and His representative. That the Lord is represented in everyone's heart is a fact, and therefore the highly advanced devotee offers his respects to every living entity, considering that the body is the temple of the Lord. But it's not possible for all men to come to that stage of life immediately, because that stage is for the first-class devotee. The second-class devotee can consider the Vaishnavas, or the devotees of the Lord, to be representatives of Krishna. And the devotee who is just beginning, the neophyte or third-class devotee, can bow his head before the deity in the temple and before the spiritual master, who is the direct manifestation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, in the neophyte stage, in the intermediate or in the fully advanced, perfected stage, one can make the function of the head perfect by bowing down before the Lord or His representative. Similarly, one can perfect the function of the eyes by seeing the Lord and His representative. In this way, everyone can elevate the functions of the different parts of his body to the highest perfectional stage simply by engaging them in the service of the Lord or His representative. One is able to do nothing more. He can simply bow down before the Lord and His representative and drink the Charinamrita, the water which has washed the lotus feet of the Lord or His devotee. Okay, so he's made this point that he wants to hear more about the Lord, because hearing about the Lord, that's the perfection of life. So all the senses and mind, intelligence connected to Krishna, that's the real perfection. Okay. Verses 5 to 17, Brahmana Sudama goes to Dwarka to meet the Lord. Sudha Goswami said, thus questioned by King Vishnurata, the powerful sage Badarayani replied, his heart fully absorbed in meditation on the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vasudeva, Sugadeva Goswami said, Lord Krishna had a certain Brahmin friend named Sudama, who was most learned in Vedic knowledge and detached from all sense enjoyment. Furthermore, his mind was peaceful and his senses were subdued, right? So that's why he could then function in that particular occupation of Amrita, right? Just accepting whichever comes without an endeavor, right? So then he'll just be absorbed in doing his activities for the Lord, worshiping the Lord, doing the chanting, or, you know, taking care of guests, whatever is there. And then whatever is needed for that, that's taken care of. But you see is that he's most learned and detached from all sense enjoyment. Furthermore, his mind was peaceful and his senses were subdued. Why? Because he's most learned means he knows about Krishna. Because if you have academic knowledge, it doesn't create this, we generally see. Because one of the definitions of a sage or a muni is they become angry easily. Right? They can curse. You know, they have potency. They have austerity. They have, so that's austerity. And this knowledge then creates a hardness in the heart. Mm-hmm. So only when this knowledge is connected with bhakti, then it doesn't do that. Mm-hmm. Right? So that's why you see the devotee has all the good qualities. Mm-hmm. Right? The proper Brahmins, they'll have those qualities, but if these others come up, it doesn't say that Brahmins don't get angry. Mm-hmm. Right? But you see, is they're better situated when they're less affected by that. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense? And we also make a distinction when anger means what's concerning them or what's concerning the Lord and the devotees. Like one time a devotee was coming to, came to Prabhupada. Prabhupada was explaining about how one should be peaceful and tolerant and that. And he says, no, but Prabhupada, you know, what if? And he said, no, no, one must be peaceful. You know, like that. One had, you know, and Prabhupada went on explaining different aspects of, you know, this. But he said, no, but Prabhupada, what if? And he said, no, no, it's not. It's just he kept explaining more and more about this point. And then at some point the devotee says, no, but what if they're attacking, you know, insulting the devotees of the Lord? And then probably just stop and said, then you burn like fire. So, for yourself, you're totally tolerant, you're peaceful, nothing bothers you. But for the Lord, then you may get upset. Does that make sense? Srila Prabhupada writes in Krishna book, this means that the Brahmana was a perfect devotee. Because unless one is a perfect devotee, he cannot achieve the highest standard of knowledge. Right? Because the highest standard means you understand Bhagavan in devotion. Anything less than that is a lower standard of knowledge. It is stated in the Bhagavad Gita that a person who has come to the perfection of knowledge surrenders under the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In other words, any person who has surrendered his life for the service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead has come to the point of perfect knowledge. Right? Because that's what all knowledge is for. So it's not the volume of knowledge or how technical, you know, it's whether you surrender to the Lord in having this knowledge. Yeah? Mm-hmm. The result of perfect knowledge is that one becomes detached from the materialistic way of life. You surrender to Krishna, you become detached from the material energy. This detachment means complete control of the senses, which are always attracted by material enjoyment, right? Senses, then they engage with sense objects. That's just what they do. Especially material senses are connected with material objects. But the devotee is not attracted by that, so therefore he doesn't engage. It doesn't mean that they're not attracted. It means anything that you could see, the eyes will look at. But now whether you're interested in that or not, or continue looking, or engage in activities based on that looking, now that's what you see the devotee. Devotee will see something, and if it has some connection to Krishna, he'll see that connection. If there's an activity that can be performed connected to Krishna, he'll do that. But if not, then he'll just leave that. So it's not that the senses will stop interacting with the sense objects, it's just that you don't have any value for sense objects, therefore there's detachment. And there, so one doesn't engage in activities that are not worthwhile. Is that?
The value of the sense object. Value of the sense object in the sense of sanctification, but not in the value of the sense object in the sense of. Because contact of the sense object with senses with the goal of using Krishna for the devotional service.
Yes. Yes, yes. But what we're saying is that it gratifies the sense because it's working in its area. So the eyes see things and it'll always look for nice things according to the value of the mind. And so, but that's what it does. But it's not that we are interested in that process. We're only interested, like you're saying, is that you're going to see things in connection to Krishna and in connection with devotional service. Does that make sense? So what we're meaning is that the body and mind, they just do their natural things that they do under the modes of nature. But it's not that we as the soul have to value that and get involved in that as it unfolds. Yeah, it means the soul just sees then of that so much is there. It's just like, let us say you go to a cloth shop, right? And now there's a salesperson there. What do they pull out? Right? Everything. Yeah. But what do you show, what you show interest, then that's where it goes. So that's the point. The senses are just bringing in information. Then you sift through that and decide what you're going to take from that and what you're going to do with that. So what we're just meaning here is the senses are always functioning. So that's why it means here. Like that. This detachment means complete control of the senses. It means the soul senses seeing something, but there's no action. So it's only it's a static aspect. It means it's not that you don't see sense objects, but they're not valued as sense objects. So you only see them in relationship to devotional service. So that may mean only a philosophical appreciation, or it mean that there's an activity that you can apply.
Basically, senses drag to sense objects anyway, but what you do with it,
that's what the devotee does. So that the mind goes here, and sometimes the devotees get so, oh, I'm seeing this, I'm seeing that. No, it's just, that's not the problem. The problem is that you value it, that's why you see it as a distraction. You know, just like you go and think, you look through a crowd and all that, you just think, wow, you know, so many living entities, or, you know, like that, or, you know, whatever it is, you go like that. But if there's something, then you start to pick out or look for, or, you know, do different, does that make sense? Yeah.
Because it's just you, I've seen it was misunderstood, you know, quite severely.
Yes.
Like, you know, everything is, I'm not attracted, but, you know, the person is actually attracted to some particular thing.
Yes,
you know,
that's the whole point. That's the whole point, is that we seemingly are unattracted, but then you're not attracted by most of what you see anyway. You know what I'm saying? Is that even once a materialist, you go into, let's say, a big store, how many things in that store are actually of interest to you? Right? There's a certain department or certain few places that, you know, you're interested in. You know, like that. You may be interested, let's say, in shoes. But all the rest of the departments, it's not that you don't see those departments as you're walking by and as you look around, but it's not interesting. So you do nothing. The senses are controlled. Then you see shoe department. So you go to the shoe department. Now in the shoe department, there's tons of shoes everywhere, all up displayed and all that, but you're not interested. It's just you looking for a very specific shoe. Right? Or a specific kind of shoe, and you see, okay, of that, there's one like that, or there's none like that, or, okay, there's two or three, and then you analyze that to exactly see. You know what I'm saying? So, we're already doing that, but now the difference is we still, end game is about Krishna. So, that we're so renounced, okay, yeah, 90% I'm detached, or that 10% I'm attached to, we're already 90% detached. Anyway, so if we focus on that, all we're seeing is that the mechanical process of the mind working and bringing in information, I'm not attached to that anyway. So, the thinking I'm not attached, then, you know, and I'm, you know, be attached to it, it's not a bad thing. But if they think that that itself is the process, it'll be a weakness. No, it's the positive, it's the chanting, absorbing yourself in Krishna, because that's why it says the perfection is that. So it's not the perfection of the eyes is seeing things and not caring. The perfection of the eyes is seeing Krishna. Like that. So then, therefore, then you have to, like Shastra Chakra, see it in connection with Krishna. Mm-hmm. So the first thing is, I see it not in connection with sense gratification. Like, I say, the attractive girl walks into the temple. So then the brahmachari sees. Now he can, you know, he can be thinking all kinds of things, you know, philosophically and this and that, and Does that make sense? But at the same time is now if there's someone else to talk to that guest, then it's not his duty, then it just stays at that philosophical and he moves on. But now, if it's a matter of there isn't someone else there, either they're supposed to be, or they're not there and you're there, or that is your service, then you have to go into, well, how to engage in Krishna. So these are Krishna's soul. They can be engaged in Krishna's service. So then you go up and you deal.
Not just, you know, I would like to preach to this beautiful lady.
Yeah, it's not that you're there and there's someone next to you and there's a girl over there and you walk over there. No, you know, you talk to the guy here. Right? That, yeah, like that. So that's how you see is that the senses are controlled, and that what information is coming in, you're translating it only in relationship to Krishna consciousness. So the more that it directly makes you think of Krishna, the better. And if not, at least then philosophically you're thinking of Krishna. And if not, at least you're controlling the senses for things in connection with Krishna. Like that. So, that, you know, so it comes down like that.
Basically, the attraction sense is the sense
object.
It becomes subordinate to this
body of devotion. Yes. You know, it's just like, let's say, now it's hot, and you're in the temple room, okay? And you're nicely absorbed in seeing the deities, you know? But, and it's quite hot. But as you're moving, you know, to get, you know, because, you know, say the kirtan party's coming or something, so you move over a little bit. But in moving, just without your being conscious of it, you come across the fan.
Yes.
Right? And then you know, so you notice that. It's comfortable. And then, but you keep moving, and then you're out of the fan. But it's not that you can't move back into the fan and keep your focus on the deities. So it's subservient, too, because then if you're not worried about the heat, then you can concentrate on the deity. But if you think, wow, this is so fabulous, and this, then you're not thinking of the deity either. So that's the point.
Or if you move out of the temple, this is sense of purification, have to sweat, then it will be genuine service.
Yeah, yes, yes. Unless it's hard and painful and disturbing, mm-hmm. then it's not service. But yeah, devotees do get that they are distracted by that aspect that, you know, but if I like doing the service, isn't that sense gratification? No, that's just your conditioned nature. And so, therefore, you're using Krishna's service, you know, because if that's the case, then when we go into the kitchen, then we shouldn't use any of the pots in their natural way, because that wouldn't be service, because it's so easy. I don't cut things with a knife. That's too easy. You know, I should try to use, the pot for that. You know, put the potato and turn the pot upside down and then, you know, hit the pot and then it'll cut the potato and, yeah, things like that. And, you know, I don't cook it on the proper side of the pot. That's too easy. I turn the pot upside down and cook on the back. You know, it has all those ridges, you know, for conducting the heat. You know, everything gets stuck, and then it's really a trip to get it out. You know, so that's real service. Like, what, you cook on the inside of the pot? No, that's not service. We cook on the outside of the pot. So yeah, so that's not necessary either. And, you know, some get distracted by that, but it's not important. So in other words, that they're thinking that they want to control the senses and no sense gratification, that's not a bad thing. But the point is the real point is to engage in Krishna service, not engaging in sense gratification is specifically the service. That's what allows you, that's the situation in which you can engage in service. Does that make sense? You know, it's like, you know, being outside is Maya, and being in the temple is not Maya. But if you're in the temple and not looking at the deities or taking part, then it's better than being outside. But at the same time, it's not actually the purpose of. Yeah, but it'll be less distracting if you're out on the street, because I mean, when you look up, you're just going to see kirtan and see the deities and Prabhupada and the Vyasasan. Well, if you're out on the street, then there's a whole lot of other things that you could be seeing. So it's better. You know, what we can say is, oh, but you're not thinking of Krishna, so it's just nonsense. No, it's better. Like that, because the situation is better. That's why Krishna says in the Gita about the devotee who has a problem, that they're properly situated. They're still considered saintly. Because they're in the temple, so they're still considered saintly. Right? So the situation is good, even though they may not be fully taking advantage. But still, they're there, in the right place. And if they do take advantage, then it's the best situation. You know, if they're standing in the middle of Times Square, then it might not be your ideal advantageous place for... You know, unless all those screens are playing, you know, Jagannath Rath Yatra or something like that, or Abhishek and Krishna during Janmasthami, then it's all right, you know, like that. You know, people go there for midnight stuff. Why not? You know, they could go there for, you know, Janmasthami and seeing the program on their things, because the temple's too crowded. Right? Wow, no space in the temple. What do we do? Oh, go to Times Square. They always show the Abhishek, you know, like that. Yeah. that. The result of perfect knowledge is that one becomes detached from the materialistic way of life. This detachment means complete control of the senses, which are always attracted by material enjoyment. The senses of the devotee become purified, and in that stage the senses are engaged in the service of the Lord. That is the complete field of devotional service. Right, so then you start to see less, more refined things. But it's not that refined things can't be seen in the nature of sense gratification. Does that make sense? So that's why that its focus on Krishna is what makes it perfect. But by being focused on Krishna, then the senses become purified so that the quality of engagement of the senses is improved along with it. So one becomes more refined. Right? And that's there because of devotional service. It's not our conditioning. It's because we're purified because of devotional service. Because we see if someone decides to not function in Krishna consciousness, even though they became so sophisticated within Krishna consciousness, when they go out, they may not function at that level of sophistication. Right? Does that make sense?
How do we define refinement?
How do we define?
Refinement.
Refinement meaning that the quality of the senses and sense objects interaction is moving up in the modes. Like that. Does that make sense? So the guy is a carmi, and so when he walks down the street there in Bombay and he sees McDonald's, he thinks that looks attractive. Right? Then he takes out Krishna conscious, so that's not attractive, but going by Domino's is still attractive. Right? So they become a little more refined. Yes, I doubt. Okay.
Would be
Mahaprasad, so. Yes, so that would be good. Okay, the senses of the devotee become purified, and in that stage the senses are engaged in the service of the Lord. So that's the whole point, the purified senses are engaged in the service of the Lord. The impurified, they're not interested. Okay. That is the complete field of devotional service. So when we see everything in relationship to Krishna, therefore the senses are always engaged in relationship to Krishna. So the mind, the intelligence, the identity, everything is connected to Krishna. So that's then the complete field of devotional service. So that's why this aspect of everything being connected, that's the whole idea. Right? Sukadeva Goswami continued, living as a householder, he maintained himself with whatever came of its own accord. Footnote 32. Srila Prabhupada writes in Krishna book, this is a sign of perfect knowledge. A man in perfect knowledge knows that one cannot be happier than he is destined to be. In this material world, everyone is destined to suffer a certain amount of distress and enjoy a certain amount of happiness. The amount of happiness and distress is already predestined for every living entity. Right? And we may say, but then where's my free will? Right? Of course, right? Yeah. So, like that. Just no one is going to ask it because we've already asked it a million times.
But yes.
Okay. But the point is here is that the amount of happiness and distress is predestined. What do we call happiness if we actually analyze it?
Absence of distress.
It's absence of distress. So, in which so that absence of distress comes in a particular environment. Mm-hmm. It's a situation.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. It's not actually something dynamic.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a situation. That it's hot. If I was in a situation that was cooler, then I would be happy. Or it's winter time. It's cold. If I was in a situation that was hot, I would be happy.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Yeah.
Can we say that the free will is in what specific conditions we will suffer or be happy? This is our free will, but that will happen anyway.
No, the conditions will happen. It's what you do in those conditions.
Mm-hmm.
That is your free will.
Oh, so conditions is not under our control.
No, that's not under your control. Like that. That's the whole point. The situations you'll be in, those are not under your control. But what you'll do in those situations, that will be under that's you have control of. But for the karmis, because they're under the modes of nature, they'll generally just go with the flow. And so, in that way, they're bound. They're not actually free. Though technically they could be, but they don't take advantage. So only the devotee actually can be free. Whatever situation he's in, he sees a connection to Krishna. So he gets the topmost benefit. Right? The jnani will see that situation in connection with liberation, the karmi with piety, and the vikarmi in just sense gratification. Like that.
Because we've seen just regular people, somehow or other, they're very expert to adjust to the environment. Seems like it happens really quick, and then they can turn any situation for their own benefit.
But it's still, they're doing something in that.
Yeah.
So that makes for the next time. Now, if their adjustment in that situation is something that would be recommended or pious, that means then they're adding to their future results that will be therefore pious. So in other words, the situation they're in now is not so ideal because of past not dealing nicely. Right? But now, somehow or another, they're adjusting and dealing properly in that environment. That'll produce a better result of situation in the future. Because now it's you're adjusting to the situation. You're not changing the situation. Like that. We can say, no, but I can change the situation. But if that's the case, is that always how it works? It doesn't matter what you do. You go out on the M25, there's a traffic jam. Right? It's just the way it works. You can say whatever you like. Well, we'll go around this way. We'll go around that way. And it may sometimes work if the karma is there for that situation. But other times, is that everybody else thought the same thing? You ever notice that, you know, when you're driving to Calcutta and this, there's that little gully that you go through and it's always there? Yeah. But then after about 2 years, everybody's on that gully? And it's not there. And then after about 5 or 10 years, they figure out another gully and then no one's there. Then it's, you know, like the bypass, right? That was the thing to go. Now it's like it's just as crowded as going the other way. The other way they have the overpass, so it's actually easier going that way. You know, and then when everybody figures that out, then that'll be crowded. Then the bypass will be, you know, that's just the way it goes. So it's the situation is still the way it's going to be. That's just how it is. Now, for the devotee, then it's Krishna karma. So that those situations would be what's there, but Krishna will manifest a more or less degree of that depending upon how they're going to be advantageous or not to your devotional service. Does that make sense? Like, say you have some good karma to get some good facility, but in that good facility, you tend to not be Krishna conscious. You may not get that good facility. In other words, you've used that facility in the past whenever you got good facility just for sense gratification, and it distracts you. So if Krishna gives that to you now, you'll get distracted. What's the benefit? Because we're saying, you know, I want pure devotional service. Right? If you were saying, you know, God, won't you give me a Mercedes Benz, then it's a different story.
Can I say both?
Yes.
Then it'll be according to what you can handle. You'll end up with a, what do you call it? Was it a Civic? It works, it's okay. Yes. So then, or you can drive your Prius to the temple. Like that. You know, so you get something in between.
So there's that theory that the good and bad happens to everybody 50-50. Is that correct?
You could say basically, but it's just a matter of you're talking about what time frame you're talking about.
You know, like a lifetime.
Yeah, but it could be that you have to connect this lifetime with last lifetime. Because last lifetime, it was 50-50, but you took advantage and took more of the 50 on this side, so that means this lifetime is less.
Yeah,
it means like you have something in the refrigerator, and that's meant for the next 5 days, but if on the, you know, in the first 2 days you eat it all, then it's not there for the next 3 days. You know, it's the way it works.
So it's always 100%.
Huh?
It's always 100%.
It's not always 100%. You know, means, you will be miserable. That's 100% guaranteed. Because the nicer it is, then when it's not there, the more you suffer. You can say, no, but people have better situations. They suffer more. Right? It's just like the common person can walk down the street and be perfectly relaxed. But the very, very wealthy or you know, prestige, whatever, it has all those opulence, they can't do that. Right? People see them, they're worried about people are going to, you know, steal or what's going to happen or, you know. You know, the other guys, is they got to be there, you know, in an hour, so they're cool. And if they're, you know, a little bit this way or that way, it works. But the other guy, he doesn't have an hour to be anywhere. He's got 10 minutes or 5 minutes. You know, it's like when you see the, whenever they bring these really big people, like the prime ministers of that, they work out, they come beforehand and walk through the whole thing and figure, okay, he'll do this and that, okay, you know, and they have it down to the minutes. You know, he'll come right at this time, and then, you know, that you know, 30 seconds will be with this, and then he'll walk over to here, and then, you know, at 3 minutes, they'll do that, and then it's all down. So they've got the whole thing worked out in 10 minutes. The whole thing's done, then he gets back in the car and leaves. Well, the other guys, is that, you know, they couldn't care less. They're supposed to be there, and they bump into you, and they talk. They're supposed to go. Then they talk for half an hour. They can't do that. You know? And then you're there because, you know, you have your friend. What does he need from you? Because you have nothing. He has nothing. So, you know, it's great. But if you have so much and they have so much and, you know, like that, and then he's thinking how he can get what you have and you're thinking how you can get what he has, then where's the, you know, the anxiety is greater. Yes, the facility is greater, but the anxiety is greater. So it's always balanced. You know, we have this idea: I'll beat the system. But you have to remember, house always wins. Right? Maya's house, she always wins. So unless you take shelter of Krishna, then that's how you get out. So you win in the casino by not gambling. We think is, no, I'm Krishna conscious, I'll win and I'll get all the money. No, you just don't gamble. You don't care. You don't need it. You're fine. That's how you win. Does that make sense? Yeah. So it's slightly different than the outcome we want. We want to win and be the great pure devotee and be the, you know, totally renounced with nothing and have everything and, you know, be able to just spend our time on ourselves and at the same time everybody wants to come and see us and interact because we're so fabulous. Yeah, that's the problem.
Happiness in this way. So you mentioned that happiness is a situation. So
it happens in the situation.
Yeah,
yes.
Situation. So that we call the sukha.
That's we call and the then, sukha. Okay.
And then like, ananda is sukha. You know,
the ananda. That's because we're remembering Krishna.
Yeah. So that is not.
So it's not about the position. It's that you're remembering Krishna, absorbed in Krishna, then that's there. That's the perfection. Do we say that the gopi is cooking for Krishna in the morning and, you know, due to the situation, because Krishna's there with some of his cowherd boyfriends, he's there with the elder gopas, you know, Nanda and his brothers are there, Mother Yashoda, Rohini is there, plus you have all the other, you know, how you say, rival gopis and their groups are there also to do service and all that, and so they can't go forward to serve. So is that an inferior situation to, you know, then when they're at Radhakund or, you know, at Govindastali or... No, it's all just part of the variety of the flavors. The point is, perfection is remembering Krishna. You know, otherwise it wouldn't be Astakalya Lila, the Ek Kala Lila. You know? Right, so that's the whole point, is that it gives different flavors, so you can say something is more advantageous for making a external secondary manifestation of the rasa. And so that will always be there, so all the rasas get their chance to engage that secondary aspect like that, but it doesn't mean that that absorption in Krishna is not already there like that. Okay.
As you said, like, Ekakali. Now actually modern civilization is going like everything is about Partiva Rasa. It's not about nothing.
You said Partiva or you said Parti?
Partiva. Sense gratification.
Everything is about Parti Rasa. Yeah, no, go ahead.
And hardly they follow any rules, like for getting Swargiya Rasa. And then doesn't know anything about Vaikuntha Rasa.
Right.
So in that context, how to, people are into it.
How do they get out? They get burnt out. You get out through the process of burning, the samsara dava nalamita. That's what Narad Muni explains in the seventh canto, is that you have the four varnas and your positions in that, you know, and then you have the outcasts. So the outcasts, the only way that they'll come to a position where they might take up God consciousness is because they get so burnt out by the process. It's just like the fire. You put too much ghee, the fire goes out. You know, so then they have that. But he mentioned that it's only a small window. So as long as that suffering is there because of that, that's why then they can take up Krishna consciousness. Because as soon as the suffering goes away, they're back in the enjoying mode. So that's the whole position, is that for us, coming from that position, then Krishna has, one has to be much more careful about facility. Does that make sense? Because let's just say, like, for now, is it a pretty regular thing that all these new buildings that go up have marble floors?
Yes.
Right. Now, let's say we go back 40 years. If in the long building, then everything had been marble floors, right? People then, it's opulence, it's like that. So they get distracted. But now it's just a normal thing, so no one gets distracted. So now Krishna can give that. So it's not, Krishna can give opulence as long as we're going to see it in relationship to Krishna. Does that make sense? So that's the whole position. So we're seeing it from, when we see it in connection to Krishna, then you can have facilities. When we don't see it in connection to Krishna, we don't. Because of you working from this, non-Vedic system of how they become interested in God consciousness. It's just that things go so bad from, you know, just their dealings, that then they want to know why. They're looking for an alternative. So Krishna consciousness is that. So that's what's supposed to happen. When things go wrong and you turn to Krishna, that's what's supposed to happen. When things go wrong and then you start blaming everybody, that's not what's supposed to happen. That means we don't have enough piety. Because we can't deal with the situation, because it's the situation, we're only comfortable if it's a nice situation, because it's about us. And then when it's not about, about a good situation, so it's not about us, then we become bitter and angry towards others. So that sense of I'm the controller and enjoyer is stronger. So it's not that, oh, you know, there's all these faults in this devotee or that temple or this society or that zone. It's just, no, you're too sinful. That's all. The reason you're living at home and not doing it is because you're too sinful. It's not because, oh, they have fault and I'm picking the best path. Right? We can't compare ourselves to Prabhupada's position, where he wanted to preach and do all these things and his God brothers didn't. They wanted to fight over who's in charge of what temple. So therefore he had to do something on his own. That's a different thing. But in any case, if by being around others you can't function and all that because you blame them, then being on your own, if you can be Krishna conscious, then be on your own. Point is be in the situation that you can be Krishna conscious. But we have to remember, Krishna consciousness means association, this and that. So we should be trying to find. But the association should be how to be more Krishna conscious, not people to agree with us that how all those guys are bad. Yes. So it's a delicate thing. But the point is it has to be Krishna conscious. So point is, secondary aspects are engaged in Krishna's service. So as long as we're distracted by a secondary aspect, then we may not have that facility. But as soon as we can engage in Krishna's service, then it'll be there. Right? Now, we may say, well, then why isn't it always there? But then what happens to the detachment aspect? If it's about Krishna, then we're detached. Right? So that's the whole point. If it's about Krishna, we're detached. So then if it's there, we use it in Krishna's service. If it's not there, then we don't. So we see, is that also balances the thing of, well, why doesn't Krishna give the nice facility if I am Krishna? But point is if we're detached, that means it's about Krishna, right? Because if we're absorbed in Krishna, then we're not absorbed in material. So therefore, if the facility is there or not, then when it's there, we use it for Krishna. When it's not, we use whatever situation is there. Like that. There may be situations that are more favorable, but that's just how things work. That's the variety of how energy functions. See, something's good only because there's something that's not good. Does that make sense? You know, it's just like, okay, you work out that a particular situation is the best situation. You know? And so, or, you know, a particular food or a particular this. And so if whatever's the absolute best, that's what you always do every day, day in, day out, without any change, it's not the best anymore. It's the best because there's other things that are not as best. So, therefore, being able to absorb in Krishna, that can always happen, so that's the topmost. But situations in which you can with the secondary things, express it, and that work best for you, those will come and go according to what works nicely.
That makes sense.
And so that's just how it functions. That's the variety that's there, and it happens in the spiritual world. You know, there's time when they're with the Lord in court, like Krishna goes in the morning. Now, being at home, now is that favorable for Maharaj Ugrasena and, you know, and Uddhava and all those wallahs? Right? No, it's when he's at the court that's favorable for them. But is that favor when he's at the court, is that favorable for the queens to express their? You understand? So, in other words, you engaging the secondary aspects in Krishna's service, they have their favorable situation. But being absorbed in Krishna, there is no such thing as a favorable or unfavorable. It's always, you can always remember Krishna. So the primary is always there, then there's the expression of it. You understand? So when Krishna goes out with the cowherd boys, now they can express that, you know, childless, you know, boyhood. When they're at Mother Jashoda's house, they have to, you know, behave themselves. And then when they're at home, their own home, you know, in the evening after Krishna's gone home and they've gone back to theirs, then they can just remember Krishna. You know, then they come to the cow shed, then, you know, they can be a little bit, you know, a little bit more free, but at the same time as the elder gopas are there, so they're men, so a little bit, you know, it can be a little bit, as long as the work is efficient. If the work's efficient, you're a little crazy, it doesn't matter. As long as it doesn't affect the work. But when you go into Mother Jashoda's house, now it's not about the effectiveness, it's about not being crazy. Because it's about the experience. You know what I'm saying? So like this, but then when they're out in the field, now they can be crazy and, you know, go for it. So that's what you get, all these varieties of flavor. That's why going out is then so special, because there's not going out. The gopis, they can go out and be with Krishna. There's times when they're not. Mother Jashoda is there with Krishna, and there's times when they're not. You know what I'm saying? Time Krishna's with the cows, or when he's not, or when he's with the forest of Vrindavan, or not. So that's you get that taste. That's how variety is created. But the central point of always remembering Krishna, never forgetting, that's a constant. Then it's just a matter of the secondary, if you can manifest it.
Every situation of sambhog or the problem, whatever, in SAT or with Krishna, only to increase Krishna consciousness.
Yes, that's the whole point. So therefore, then we see everything related to Krishna. Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay, footnote 32. No one can increase or decrease the happiness of the materialistic way of life. The Brahmana, therefore, did not exert himself for more material happiness. Instead, he used his time for advancement of Krishna consciousness. So if that Krishna consciousness, then from that something came, he had an opportunity to preach or do something for somebody, whatever it is came up, then if something came from that, then that's nice, but he just was engaged in Krishna's service. Does that make sense? Because the activities that Brahmins do is their occupation. He's doing it just to please Krishna. Now, with that, if that gets some benefit that for maintenance, then that's there. But he's not making an endeavor for that maintenance. He's making an endeavor for devotional service. Like that. So that's the point about the Brahminical lifestyle, is the Brahminical occupations are the activities of devotional service. right? And then from that, then they can, maintenance goes along with it. Or with Kshatriya Vaishya Shudra, then it's more indirect. Means you can see it that way. We see great personalities like Priyavrata and Dhruva Maharaj, and that saw it like this, you know, Krishna, the Pandavas. So it works perfectly. But it's still, it's just that one more step. Well, the Brahminical is just very, is much closer. Is that what it says? That's all. The wife of that poorly dressed Brahmana suffered along with him and was emaciated with hunger. Footnote 33. The BBT purport states, Sudama's chaste wife was also poorly dressed, and whatever food she obtained, she gave to her husband. Thus she remained fatigued from hunger. The chaste wife of the poverty-stricken Brahmin once approached him. Her face dried up because of her distress. Right? Not dried up because of other. The body's emaciated, but the face is a different thing. Because the face works by the mood. So whether one is thinner or fatter, it doesn't matter. It's the mood that makes that aspect. Does that make sense? So we see here is that she approached him because of distress. So that's the problem. Trembling with fear, she spoke as follows. Footnote 34. According to Sridhar Swami, the chaste lady was especially unhappy because she could not obtain food to feed her husband. Right? Because he brings in, or maybe someone gives her, but the point is even he gets it, she has that, and then she uses that. So she's not getting, because somehow or another, by their lifestyle, nothing's coming. You know, it's not that he does nothing and she has to go out and get it. We're not talking about that kind of lifestyle. She was fearful to approach her husband because she knew that he did not want to beg for anything other than devotion to the Supreme Lord. So that's the whole point, is she knows that this is his lifestyle, that's his determination, therefore then she doesn't want to, she's also afraid of that aspect. Right? Sudama's wife said, Oh Brahmana, isn't it true that the husband of the goddess of fortune is the personal friend of your exalted self? Because otherwise, if you said the husband of the goddess of fortune, what does that got to do with him? But your exalted self, because he's a great Brahmin, he spent that time with Krishna. And how many people can live this lifestyle that they're living and maintain pure devotion and not be disturbed? Right? Because people may try to live this, but then you see they start to become agitated and other things like that. But here, they're living that and not becoming disturbed. So that means because he is such an exalted personality. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur comments, Oh Brahmana, the master of Lakshmi is your friend. But how can the lord of Lakshmi be a friend to me, so poor? Right? Because then you're looking at it that there has to be a point of equality for people to be friends. So it's just a matter of which point you take is the equalness. So here, the lord of Lakshmi, then you're thinking of opulence, and then he has nothing, so that's not a common point.
Even in the Tirupati temple, head pujari, you know, he dresses himself same as Lord Balaji with all the gold and everything, so that there's an equality between the master and the servant.
Yes, you can do. It means there when you're working in a environment of opulence, right? It's majesty. Yeah. Therefore, to be using that opulence in the matter of relationship, then is very natural. Right? That's why in Vaikuntha you see Swarupya then means the same form as the Lord. Like that. So it's not a problem there, is because then these aspects of liberation are your situations in which you are serving the Lord. So it's not a problem, it's there. So if you have Tirupati that's so opulent and the head Vajari is dressed so opulently, then it matches. Mm-hmm. Now if he goes home and he's still dressed like that, then you say, no, there's a problem because everybody else in the house is not. But if when he's going to the temple, especially if it's a festival where the Lord will be dressed more, he puts on more, then that's fine. Like that. Because opulence is one of the bases, or majesty is one of the bases of interaction. Well, for us, that's not a basis, so we don't necessarily have to work on that. So Krishna being so opulent, we're just simple. Same things, we're clean. Okay. But how can the Lord of Lakshmi be a friend to me, so poor? But he favors the Brahmanas. Then he says, but I don't have the qualities of such a Brahmana. So then she says, he accepts anyone who surrenders to him. Then he says, but since I do not have devotion, I do not have the quality of surrender even. Then she says, but he is Bhagavan, knowing everything. Seeing your suffering, he will be merciful. Then he says, but how will he give wealth to me when he is equal to everyone among all the infinite suffering souls similar to me enjoying the fruits of their karma? Right? Means everybody, he's equal to everyone, but we see around so many people are poor, so why would I be any different? Right? Then she says, he is the master of the devotees. He may not give, but the devotees serving him by fanning and other actions, being most merciful, will give. And since he maintains the yadus, what burden or fault is it for him to maintain you? Right? He's maintaining all the yadus in such great opulence, so what would be the fault if he maintains you, a simple Brahmin? Right? So you can't say that there's a fault there, that he's maintaining not all the living entities, but it's a matter of the devotees. Sudama's wife continued, the greatest of Yadavas, the Supreme Lord Krishna, is compassionate to Brahmins and very willing to grant them his shelter. O fortunate one, please approach him, the real shelter of all saints. He will certainly give abundant wealth to such a suffering householder as you. Srila Jiva Goswami writes, therefore you should approach him, since it is not proper, I am afraid and ashamed. He is the shelter of saintly persons like you, since he is the only shelter. It is not proper not to surrender to him because you are fearful. Right? So just because you're fearful doesn't mean you don't surrender. Mm-hmm. He can say is that you should approach him because of his great position and everything. But he says, no, but since it's not proper because I don't have that same qualification, then I'm afraid and ashamed. He says, no, but you shouldn't be, because he's the only shelter. Where else are you going to surrender? He may give shelter to the saintly, but I am not saintly. But you will have great fortune, otherwise how could you make friends with him? Therefore, he will give you plenty of wealth when you ask him. Moreover, you are suffering from poverty and hunger, and you have a family. Thus, you are a proper object of his charity. Right? So, for him to receive charity is not a wrong thing, because as a Brahmin, then that's there. But he may be very renounced as he is. But since he's with a family, then for him to receive charity and all that and to be used is a very natural thing. It's not an unnatural thing. Right? It's not that he's a brahmachari, so therefore he doesn't need facility. Sudama's wife continued, Lord Krishna is now the ruler of the Bojas, Vrishnis, and Andakas, and is staying at Dwarka. Since he gives even his own self to anyone who simply remembers his lotus feet, what doubt is there that he, the spiritual master of the universe, will bestow upon his sincere worshipper prosperity and material enjoyment, which are not even very desirable? Right? So these things aren't even very desirable, so why wouldn't he give that? Because that one who surrenders to him, he's absorbed in pure devotion. So the material just comes along with it. So why, if you're getting the greater thing himself, why wouldn't you get the lesser thing, even though it's not very desirable? It just comes along with it. Does that make sense? Yeah?
It seems that Sudama's wife is quite well matching Sudama, according to
the quality. Yes, that's the whole point, is that... In the tradition, intelligent men marry intelligent women. You know, and the fiery men marry fiery women. It's just like that story of the Bengali businessman and the Marwari businessman. And his son gets sick. Yeah. So the whole point is that the son gets sick. And so then they, both take their son to the hospital and see that everything's arranged. But once it's all arranged, so now it's just a matter of time, then the Marwari, family, the wife and son say, now go to Bombay and put in your tent, put in your offer, your bid, to make money. Like that. Well, then the Bengali, when they says, aren't you going to go to Bombay like this and that? What do you mean? My son's in the hospital. Why would I go somewhere? This is just a different mood. So, so like that, then that's the idea in the Vedic system. You marry those who are equal. That's the equalness of it. But the point is that the nature of masculine and feminine are different, but they're matching masculine and feminine. Does that make sense? So that's how it works. So they would know the Shastras. They would know these things because where has his wife grown up?
In
a Brahmin family. So therefore she'll hear all these things. Everything will be about that. And her mother will be telling her why, because she grew up in one like that. You know, so they've grown up in that. That for them, that's the normal thing. They know all the rules. They like this. They know why they're done. And then especially if there's someone who they run schools, so then the girl will grow up in the school. Until she's married, she'll go to the school. Means in her father's school, you know. Like that. So she's hearing all these things. So it's not that they don't know these things. You know, and especially then they hear all the Puranas and everything, so they know everything. Because everything's already explained there. That's the point of Mahabharata. Everything's already explained there. And then if they're Vaishnavas, then they'll understand it in the proper context. So like that, then that's the advantage in the Vedic culture of that kind of aspect. While the modern thing is simply if there's a physical attraction, then that's not ideal. The physical attraction is great for having kids, but it's not great for interacting and living a life together. That you need all the other aspects. You know what I'm saying? Because the point is okay, they'll have a kid, but then how will the kid be raised? How will they function together? How will they cooperate? So this modern thing has just got to be that love. Okay, that's great. That's guaranteed there's going to be at least an attempt at processes that produce children. Right? But, you know, what they'll do with them, how they'll live together, what's the environment that's there, that's not brought up by that. Right? Does that make sense? So that's why then the Vedic, all these other aspects are there. Because he's at a particular standard of that, then that Brahmin family marries into another Brahmin family of the same standard. Right? And if it's not, if the girl's at a lower standard, then because the boy, his house will run at that standard, she'll come up to the standard. So the Anuloma is actually not that bad. It's better if she's already at that standard, then immediately just comes and fits in. But if not, she's at a standard just below that, but it's a compatible standard. Then it's just a matter of time that she comes up to that. But there is that little delay. But if it's outside of that, or, you know, the reverse of that, then she's at a higher standard, he's at a lower, then she's got to function at this lower standard. You know, so how is that progressive? So that's the whole, that's why that science is there, is so that in these situations, they can cooperate, they can do that, they're on the same page when it comes to discussing things, because there's the same values. That's what's seen. Not all this, oh, we're not the body, we don't care for the rules. It's like, yeah, you want things to fall apart, then go for it. You know, that's your formula. Match anything to anything, then that's there. Because, okay, you had the physical attraction, great. And how long will that be inspiring? You know, 6 months in a dynamic way, and 2 to 3 years, you know, stretching it in just an ordinary way. And then after that, if you don't have anything else, you don't have a marriage. It's not going to be there. It's just that simple. So if you're cool about every 3 years turning over a marriage, then hey, go for it. You know, what to do? That's the way it works. So that's why if you have this, then you'll see just like Kunti Devi with the Pandavas, she can say Shastra, say what should be done and things like that. You know, Gandhari, she can say things to her husband and control. So that's the point, is they're on an equal level. That's the equalness. You know? Not that equalness on the physical platform. Because if you actually made things equal on the external platform, women would totally not be happy. It's gotta be 90-10. That's the proper balance. And that's if he's behaving himself. Then it's 90-10. And that's the generous platform. And then if he's not behaving right, then you want 5% of his 10. So there's 95-5. So that's your two options. 95, you know, 5 or 90-10. You take your choice. That's the position. Not the 50-50, that's That's not the reality. That's not what the discussion's about.
50 of 10.
Huh? Yes, 50 of the 10. That's what when women are saying they want it to be equal. They want 50%. They're talking about the 10% that the men have. That's what we're talking about. Does that make sense? Yeah, that's just how it works. So that's why if it's compatible, then it works very nicely. It means if you have affection for somebody because of the equalness of nature, do you mind that they have 90%? No. And if you know the person's dealing nicely and you're affectionate and everything, do you mind that he gets 10%? No. So it works out. That's the point. It has to be equal nature. Yeah?
You give him that 10%.
Huh?
You give him that.
Yes, of course. That's the whole point, is that you have control of 100%, and then out of graciousness, he gets 10. So 10 he can count on. But it'll adjust a little bit this way and that way, depending upon the, how you say, behavior. You know? Like that. So, you know, like that. You know, it's not that it can't go more than 10, but you have to understand that 10 is out of her quota. Yeah. She controls 100%, 90% is her quota, and then if you get more than 10, it's because it's out of her quota because of something exceptional.
It's on your feet.
Yeah, and, but if you consider that's standard, then, you know, that, yeah, then it goes back to 5, yeah.
It sounds like the final explanation of Ishabhasyamitam Sarvam.
Yes, yes. Yes, yes, that is. That's the unspoken.
Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhaktivinoda ki, Jai Nitai Gaurabhena.
We have a church in France. When there is a divorce, it is the wife takes 100% and the husband takes the rest.
Yes, that sounds about right. That sounds about right. Yeah. That way it works out equally, right? They both get their share.
Would it?
Yeah, equality. Everybody knows, just no one wants to talk about it. You know, in jest, they can talk about it. You know, joking and all that. But in seriousness, then it's freaky. Older people can talk about it. Because they'll talk about it in a very pleasant, because they're detached. So they can tell the younger people what to do. And because if you don't do it, what does it matter to them? You know, so then they can be. But when you're attached, then they can't talk about it.
Problem is attachment.
Yeah, the problem is attachment. He's attached not to Krishna. That's the, yes. That's the problem. Okay.